This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this podcast episode. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. At Messenger Insight, we try to highlight great ministry going on right here in Oklahoma. And today we're going to be talking about Baptist Collegiate Ministries. And to do so, I want to introduce our three guests, three great brothers of mine, and just ministering in such great ways here, serving the Lord, great leaders. We have Shane Kammerer, who serves at the University of Oklahoma, Scott Hume at SWASU, and Chris Lowry with BCM Ministry here with Oklahoma Baptist. Guys, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
So I mentioned where you serve, but can you talk about your role there, how long you've been serving in that capacity and that ministry a little? We'll start with you, Shane.
Well, yeah, I've been in Oklahoma serving in BCM Ministry since 2010. I was the director at another school in the state, but I've been at OU since 2016.
That's great. Scott?
So, well, like Shane, I've been at Southwestern since 2016. I started in June of 2016. I had moved over from doing youth, college, and missions at a church in Weatherford, and I had the blessing of not leaving town, just moving three blocks.
That's great. Chris?
So, and I'm the state director for the state of for collegiate ministry, and I started this position in January of 2013. I started with the convention in March 1st of 1999, so it's my third role in the convention.
You've worn a lot of hats and done great ministry.
Yeah, this has been a great one. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, do a great job. Well, guys, so we're talking about the 100th, and in the next Messenger magazine, we're going to have a feature talking about just the state BCM ministry. But each of you have had for your respective campus recognize the 100th, and I could. And I'll pick on you first, Scott, because yours was most recently happening. What were some of the things that went on in celebration, and why was it important to really highlight this 100th?
So for us, a couple of things that stood out. Jim Morrison was our director at the Southwestern BSU for 37 years. And then Ron Henderson followed, and he was there for 14 years, and this is my ninth year. And where that's important for us is we're the only three full-time directors. All of us were Southwestern graduates. And so that was just something that we were really proud of and wanted to really highlight in what they were doing. So our planning process, actually, it was me, it was Ron, and it was Jim, and we sat around the table for months just trying to see what would best encapsulate that history, but not just to focus on that, but also to kind of move us into the future.
Yeah, so kind of a celebration, but also propel you in ministry. And you had a big event, festivities. You put together some timeline.
Yeah, we did. We made these cards. We had a timeline just to show everyone just the basic history of where we were. And because, there's no way we could make a book even almost to fit everyone's memories and things like that. But we had six different former graduates. People who were invested in their time there and come back and just give a testimony of what it meant for them to be a part of the ministry at the BSU BCM at Southwestern. And then Jim got a time to address everyone, and then Ron did, and I wrapped it up, and I felt like it was a good night.
Good, good. Well, and OU had big celebration several months back.
Yeah, it was 2023, October, a year ago, this last week.
A year ago in the fall. And y'all had some special plans, speakers, videos.
Can you
talk about that?
Yeah, we had alumni that from previous years. We had people all the way back from 1955. I think the earliest person there was a 1952 graduate. We had Max Barnett, who's, I think he served like almost 39 years or something like that at OU from 1967 to 2004, whatever that is. And then so he spoke. I gave a little bit of a message. Chris got up there and talked about the importance of college ministry. It was a great night. I mean, it was really fun. I think we had about 500 to 600 people there. We fed them barbecue. It was a big night.
Yeah, that's awesome. Chris, you all have been researching just the 100th for the entire ministry across the state, and we have some articles planned and this podcast, but What are you seeing as you've seen them celebrate, and then as you all have made this focal point? What's been important about that to you?
So, well, let me brag on these two guys. For their 100-year celebration, I thought one of the highlights was each time they got up and talked not just about the history, but they laid out what was happening right now in the ministry and the future of their vision for where God was taking the ministries. And to me, that was one of the most exciting things. I thought they did a phenomenal job of honoring the past, but also saying, look, man, here's where God has taken us. We can see it. We can feel it. And there's an excitement in the air about all of those things. And as I look back, so I was kind of a newcomer. You know, I didn't know a lot about collegiate ministry when I took this position. But it didn't take long to realize this is an incredible ministry. The impact on laymen, on the local church, the connection with the association, the number of people called to missions and ministry through this ministry has been incredible. And I would say those things are something I've seen as I've looked and listened and studied. That's true from the time this started all the way today. The evangelism, the discipleship, the call to ministry, the connections, the friendships that people talk about, saying, I met my best friend in BCM. I was working with the church in 2012, and I'd been meeting with their group on Wednesday nights, and I told them I was about to take a new job, wasn't going to be able to probably be there on Wednesday nights. They said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to oversee BCM, what used to be BSU. Immediately, a guy said, BSU saved my life. Wow. And I've heard that story over and over and over. That and that's where I met my spouse. Those are two of the highlights that people constantly say.
Friday night, he said, just all of a sudden, he's like, hey, how many of you met your spouse? And what, probably 90% of the room?
It was incredible.
That is.
I said, you know, we had to rename it from BSU to BCM because, you know, the Baptist Collegiate Marriages. And and they laughed. And I said, no, truly, how many of you met your spouse? And literally, hands all the way, 90% of the group is like, yeah, I did.
That's amazing.
So I complimented the ones who made it through single and their you know, devotion to focusing on Jesus. And
Yeah, that's good. When you mentioned BSU, BCM, you know, whether it's from decades ago or to today, you know, God is really at work. And you just see, like you said, the look on people's faces when they talk about how the Lord used this to change their lives. I was going to ask Shane and Scott, what has the Lord done in your life as you through your leadership time or other ways with BCM? Do you mind sharing some of that about what BCM has meant to you personally?
Well, I mean, I'd say that I too met my wife at the BCM back
there. You go, Chris.
At a different school, and I would say that I found, you know, I mean, most people find friends for life on some levels, or at least the start of that. But what I've how it's impacted me personally is it's just given me a real vision for the campus. Like, I think one of the biggest aspects is, like he was talking about, the future. I mean, we're going to send people out. We're kind of a factory. We're developing qualified laborers that hopefully go into the workforce. You know, we're going to either send out missionaries. We're going to send out other vocational people that would do ministry vocationally, or the all-in church member. And I think for me is it gave me a real understanding of leadership, a purpose, a place to belong, something that allowed me the ability to have almost a incubator time to really practice on campus as a student. And then I know for me personally, it's just given me a further perspective of at the University of OU, other places as well, that the college campus is the greatest mission field on the planet. If we can find qualified laborers and true disciples and people that we train up, we're going to have healthy churches. We are the future as we're developing them in the college, on the college campus. And so that's one of the biggest things, is just the need, the desire to push people forward.
That's great. Scott?
I think kind of just, you know, along with that, the impacting the world, when our students realized that in the last few years we've had some international students come to faith, and they're not sticking around, they're going back home. So in essence, we're sending a missionary back to their home, and it's absolutely massive for us that you know, that realization that it's larger than us. And for me, just seeing – so it's not – I think it's fair to say it's not socially advantageous on a college campus for a student to say, I love Jesus. You know, it doesn't get them any further along, maybe at a private religious school, but, you know, on our campuses, we're state campuses. And there's hostility towards that. And yet I see these young people that love Jesus and say, man, I'm not ashamed of that. And then got some students who say, hey, I want to know more about Jesus. And watching them just reach out, just say, hey, you want to come with us? Had a kid walk in one night, and I said, hi, nice to meet you. And I said, what brings you in? And he said, well, I was over in the library, and that guy over there said that I should come because it would be good. So here I am. You know, so watching them do ministry right there. So that, I think that, for me personally, that encourages me, and that motivates me to keep going in that respect.
That's great. Okay. Chris, we're on 30. Yeah,
well, you got to go back to how it impacted you, though. I mean, last part of your senior year was somewhat impactful.
Okay, so when I transferred to Southwestern, I was not a Christian. I had danced around, I'd been around churches and things like that, but I'd never really attended church. And so, I was sitting in class one day, and these two guys had if you remember the arrows logo, the old BSU. You know, going out, coming in, they had those on a notebook, and I looked at them, and they're sitting in front of me, and I said, "Are you guys like in a club or something? What is that?" And they just started talking to me, and I'm like, oh, "Okay, that's neat." They said, "We're part of the BSU." Okay, I don't know what that is, but whatever. And as we went on, and they just invested their lives in me, and we just spent more and more time together, and they were sharing the gospel. I didn't know that's what it was called, but they're just telling me about their faith and how their lives are functioning. And it got to a point where I looked at one kid, and I said, how are our lives so different from each other? He goes, oh, that's easy. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I went, oh, you're one of those? And I didn't say it in a nice way. And he goes, it's not like that, man. And so two nights later, they invited me to come to a concert that the BSU at Southwestern's campus was putting on. So I went because these guys took the time to buy me a ticket. So I went, and man, the lead singer shared the gospel. And in that moment, I'm just like, oh. And he's like, hey, if you want this hope in your life, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm like, yeah. And then that night, February 22nd, 1996, at a BSU event, my life was changed forever. And at our event, Ron got up and bragged and says, you know, Scott and I are – we were BSU kids just like, you know, we were Jim's kids. And I said, well, technically I kind of was, but I only went twice, you know, because that was my last semester of college. And came to faith, went to the BSU twice, then graduated and went about life. Ended up going into ministry, and, you know, God in his sovereign sense of humor 20 years later brought me back as the director. But, yeah, that – I mean, you know, my life was completely changed because of the BSU.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a BSU story right there, and that's what we hear all the time. Because you – I love the fact that our campuses aren't – places where Christian kids can come to BCM and, hey, we'll have a safe place where the world can – no, it's where we gather Christian students and train them to go out and lead them and encourage them and motivate them to go out and reach the campus. That's where these great stories come from. And we consistently hear people giving their life to Christ, being discipled, and making – that it was the place where their life would change. So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I remember getting really plugged in basically through basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple guys that would play ball all the time, and they'd call their own fouls, and they weren't jerks, and they weren't cussing people out. And so, you know, it's like, so you sought these guys out, and then as you started figuring out who they were part of the BCM. And so it was pretty cool because they were super influential in how I was developed in college, because through sports, through teams, through things like that, that made sense to me in high school. And it carried on because it was like, oh, these are some great people. And so pathways like that.
Yep. I love it. So, Chris, we're on about 39 campuses across
the
state.
Right around 39.
Yeah. And so I love what you said about this is it's a mobilized force for good, you know, for the Lord, and almost campus missionaries, and they're being built up, sent out. I love it. So This is great. You know, as you think about one of the points of emphasis I've heard you talk about, Chris, is how they build relationships on campus, and that includes with the leadership there at the school. And that, and I've heard you all talk about some of the open doors that that's created, that the college even begins to maybe look to you in times of need or as a trusted person on campus. How has that borne fruit on campus there for you all? Scott, you've shared some stories about the connection points you have there on campus.
So two that come to mind. One is I went to our vice president for student services, and I just told her, I said, hey, I'm really concerned because as I'm reading, more and more students are showing food insecurities. And I was just wondering, is there something that we can do about this? And through that, what we did is we started a program where anyone that works in the university in student services, they find a student, say, hey, I just met Shane, he needs some food. They call over to student services and say, hey, put 10 meals on his commuter plan, and he automatically has 10 meal swipes right off the bat. And then from that, a food pantry was born out that students can use free of service. And that's just been absolutely fantastic. The other one is, and it's a little bit of a different thing, but I'm the campus police chaplain. And so the times, there's been two deaths on campus. And each time the university has called and said, hey, we need your help. And both times what has happened, we've opened up the building after hours. We have a building there on campus, and we've opened up the building, and we've had food, and we've had people there for the students to talk to. In one case, a large number of the girls said that they were not comfortable staying in the dorm that night, and so they slept on the couches at the BCM. And we've just been able to be there for the university to be an integral part in helping them through those tough times.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And to one of the points, something I got to witness or observe at OU, we were taking a college tour with our daughter, and the tour guide was from the campus. She was showing us this building and that building and the cafeteria, and she points at the BCM building and says, and that's the BCM building. I spend all my time there. It's like the student union. We just go and study, and we have coffee, and we love it. And you've opened that building up just for use on campus and students. What's that been like, Shane?
Estimate is we probably got about 2,500 foot traffic coming through each week.
Wow.
We were parking cars a few weeks ago, and this girl comes up. It was family weekend. A girl comes up with her dad, and they're walking from the dorms, and she goes, hey, Dad, they've got like a Christian ministry building that anybody can go into that the school put there. So she didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
She just knew that was a safe place for her to go.
Good.
We've got a coffee shop, and it's been really helpful. I think as far as like connecting with school and stuff, one of the biggest things is we've put together and accumulated through help from obviously the Oklahoma Baptist, is we've got a really large website resource for mental health and counseling and things like that for the next steps if people have issues like bulimia, anorexia, but also like just depression that we saw really hit hard over the last couple years since COVID. And it was like a really big effort to try to like, what's the next step? So throughout our building, you have QR codes that could lead to like, hey, are you having anxiety, mental stress, or anything like that? It's in the bathroom stalls, it's in the bathrooms. I mean, people can connect with that resource at ease. So
that's awesome. So with the time we have left, I wanted to be sure to get to this point. You know, as you've dived through the history of BSU, BCM, and what thinking about past generations, you know, what are some things, some stories you've come across or some needs from alumni that you've seen, parts of their story that still echo today? You're still seeing God do the same kinds of things. I mean, are there some similarities or differences generation to generation? Because 100 years, a lot of people have come through a BSU or a BCM. Are you noticing any of the patterns and ministry opportunities or what God's doing?
Well, I say a call to ministry. I mean, I tried to do the math this last year, and we have over 90 OU alumni that are in some kind of vocational ministry, whether on church staff or doing on a campus somewhere, or a missionary that I know of. And I know there's more than that because we're not the only campus ministry too. And there's people that came out of churches. And so that's a big one. And you hear the same recurring thing as God got a hold of my life, through a couple of different strands. But a big one for us is just like people connecting with God early in college and seeing that their life can make a difference through other people's lives. I mean, you know, being a disciple maker who goes and makes disciples, that path is there. And so people have seen it. For us, it's like we've got these little verse packs that we have, you know, and we've had them for 50 something years. And, we have a little old lady from, you know, Gainesville, Florida that makes them for us. And so that emphasis is across time. Like you can pretty much open up, if you said somebody was an OUBCM alum from the 70s, they might still be memorizing scripture in that form, in that way, and just that method. And so that's a big one. I think the biggest desire for us is obviously to make disciples who make disciples. And one of the things that you can really look back at, just the other day, we were talking with a pastor that came out of, the ministry and had a very similar story to Scott's, where he became a Christian later in college. And he went down and, you know, got called into ministry after he was a steel worker or something like that. And then he went to a church that started really trying to put into practice 2 Timothy 2:2, like as a church. And so through that, they saw people, one, saved, then become disciples, then be disciple makers. But then they started seeing groups gather, and they've planted over 36 churches. And so he's entering into this retirement age, and he's just talking about how it all started from somebody casting vision for him to make a disciple who makes disciples.
It's awesome. Scott, anything you'd share?
I hate to sound like the third grade kid, but yeah, what he said. Just, I mean, it's the same Jesus, and watching, and again, I'm 2 days out from our celebration, but watching, all these people, we had people graduating in the 50s that were there, and all the way up to just graduated last year. And when we sang together, Greg Gober's one of our graduates. He planted a church in Brooklyn, New York. And he's like, I thought for years that I realized that we all sang in that building at different times, but now we're all going to sing together.
Wow.
And it was all to the same Jesus. And watching that take place, the disciple making, the evangelism, the missions, the just living out your faith. And the guys that are like, hey, I realized I need to be real about my faith. I've been playing a game, and just watching those turning points, and it's just generation after generation after generation hearing those stories.
Yeah. I'd add to that the commitment to the local church. We've heard that at all these
Absolutely.
Things that people, were involved in collegiate ministry, which pushed them to be involved in local church,
yeah.
And the local church is where they've been committed their entire life. And so they've just been faithful followers, but most of them will point back to the passion that was created during their time during college.
And I don't know what they're growing at Southwestern, but how many pastors do y'all have? There's church planters, not just pastors, people that have planted churches that have come out of that ministry that we know of that are in Oklahoma City, Kansas, other mm-hmm. places.
Quite a bit. And one of the things is that just watching these young men say, hey, I got a chance to preach my first sermon, and I'm in the Western Oklahoma Baptist Association, formerly the Concord Kiowa. And, I mean, our churches call me all the time. They're like, any of your boys looking for their first sermon? Or basically, any of your boys want a chance to preach? And it's just, they're getting these chances. And it's just an absolute joy to watch that take place.
That's awesome. Well, man, thank you for sharing that. You think about 100 years, there's so much to celebrate. But what I love, it's not just about the good old days or about what he's done, though it is that. It's about what's ahead and what God's doing right now. And so I just applaud that and thank you for sharing that today. Go to baptistmessenger.com to read more on this 100th anniversary. There's even a timeline that's been developed through Chris Lowry's office that's really interesting to look at. So Shane, Scott, Chris, thanks for taking time on the podcast. Blessings to you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.